if you are, you know, concerned about COVID and you're not like hanging out with a ton of people and not doing a bunch of stuff and you actually like your job,
yep.
At a certain point during COVID, you watched all the stuff you can watch in your circle. You've hung out with everybody enough, or like to your tolerance level. And you're like, well,
what do I do now?
Let me just do some work.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thought Podcast. My name is Michael. I'm one of your co-hosts for this podcast, and always with me, Robert. And so, Robert, today.
Hey, guys. Welcome back. Welcome back. Today, we have two of our all-stars that have come on a couple times before. We have Sean White and Rahul Shah with us.
Hello. Hello.
Sean, how's it going? How's it going, Rahul? It's been a while, right?
It's been a little while.
I know Rahul's been a while for sure. Sean, you know, we see often enough, you know.
Yeah, it's been a while, but always a pleasure to be back. It's always fun to kind of spend a couple of hours talking about a lot of things. Never an easy end, but good to be back.
Well, we appreciate you guys coming back on to this episode. It's going to be interesting. We're talking about working from home after 1 year.
Yeah, so, it's been 1 year since we've worked from home, guys.
Yeah. All right, before we get started, what are we drinking today?
Sean, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Mediterranean dry gin.
It's called BCN.
It's called BCN gin?
Yeah. First time giving it a try.
What does a BCN stand for? Do you know?
No. I literally, botanical company.
I have something in my mind, but that's related to this, but it's not PG-13, so I'm not gonna say it.
I thought we're an explicit show. There's no.
Yeah, I thought you were TVMA.
Raul, what are you having today?
It's been a craze over the last few weeks to just try out all sparkling water. So I'm trying something new from juice shop. It's basically elderflower and hibiscus.
Sparkling water, you're saying, right?
Sparkling water from juice shop.
Okay, but what kind of flavor is it?
It's elderberry and hibiscus.
Elderberry and hibiscus. Yeah. Okay, all right. I try to be healthy. I see you.
Yeah. So you said you're trying a ton of different sparkling waters.
Sparkling waters, yeah. I've been on a roll trying.
You're doing a sparkling water roadshow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never found one of those that I liked.
Let me ask you this, Raul. Have you found one of those that you like? Because I never found one of those either.
No, nothing yet. I'm still trying to understand how people get addicted to sparkling water. And that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Why are you doing it in the first place?
I mean, you got to see what all the hustle and bustle is about.
That's true. I'll give you two thumbs up for at least trying.
And trying it all. Like, I would throw all of, I could take a sip and then I throw it away. Like, that's how sparkling water tastes.
He's open-minded, okay, Robert? He's open-minded. Okay?
Hey, I'm open-minded too, but, you know, not about sparkling water. I have sparkling as well, but I have some Prosecco here. Let me show the audience here. Prosecco.
Oh, nice.
It's one of our friends. He stores wine here at my place, and so I take a cut. Basically, I take a bottle from every like five bottles that he
storage
sends.
Storage fee.
Yeah, storage fee. So this is one of those.
You need another bottle for admin fee. Don't forget about that.
There you go. Like, I'm just gonna. He's gonna end up sending two bottles, and I'll just take one every other bottle.
Yeah. And don't forget cleaning fee, man.
Oh my god, he might not have any wine left at the end of this.
Right. All right. I am having just a typical mushroom coffee. Well, you know what I need to do? I need to get a clear the mustache.
I told you that. You need to get a clear one. We don't know what you have in there.
No, but for real.
It's just straight vodka in there, and you're just like playing us all like, oh, I'm being very healthy.
I'm not red though, so you can tell I'm not drinking alcohol. So. Yeah. But it is mushroom coffee, with oatmeal, simple stuff like that. This is actually my third cup today because it's been quite the weekend. But yeah,
no Kahlua today.
No, not Kahlua today. It's been depressing raining. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to keep it simple, keep it chill for now. So
true.
All right, let's jump into this. So before COVID started, let me ask you, how many of you guys have worked from home before? Like somewhat. So okay, Sean, obviously.
I worked a little from home.
A little bit? Mm-hmm. How about you, Roro? Have you worked a little bit from home?
I've never worked from home and I've never liked it.
Really? Before COVID?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so for you, it was a big change then, that means, right?
For sure.
So yeah. let me get your opinion. So month one in working from home after COVID, how was that? Month one in, after 1 month.
It was hard in many ways. I also joined a new company right at the same time, so it came with its own challenges. And work from home was hard only because I used to look forward to going to work, and it was a complete change overnight. And for me, I don't feel comfortable working from home at all. So.
So not having a desk, let me ask you this. So did you find it difficult to meet people because you were brand new to the company when you work from home?
Yeah, that lasted for like 3 to 4 months where it was just extremely challenging to even connect with people. Okay. No one has the time to kind of make the effort to, you know, have those hallway conversations in Zoom. So that was tough. But in general, I think what I used to like was going to work, hanging out with people, meeting new people.
Chit-chatting here and there. Enjoying the snacks. Coffee breaks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. All of that was like immediately gone. And that's something which was the most difficult for me.
That's true. How about you, Robert? Like, obviously, you know, you said you had some semi-experience working from home, right? Yeah. How's your month one, month two in?
I also had the same thing where I changed jobs during COVID, like during the pandemic. So then starting a new company, you just don't have those bump-ins that you get normally. And it's difficult, right? Like you're new to a company, you're trying to meet new people, but then there's none of those random bump ins. So you only know people that are on your projects, people that are on your team,
or meetings.
In meetings, you know, and then those are like very like work related. There's not too social interaction that you're getting.
Yeah, so, you don't have the happy hours either, right? To go to after work.
Yeah, like they tried a lot of different things, but then you just get too busy to go to that stuff, or like you know, even when you're in there, it's kind of awkward being on Zoom and going to happy hour. So you have to be more mindful of that and try to like be persistent at creating meetings and creating those
that environment, I guess. I feel for it. Yeah. How about you, Sean? Obviously you work from home a lot, right? So
I didn't work from a lot, but I took every opportunity I could to work from home before. And with Levi, we did like a whole like maybe 2 weeks where we tested out like, hey, what would it be like if we like went fully remote to working from home? So did that a couple times.
Guys kind of prepped for that a little bit
before they knew the pandemic was happening.
Okay.
They knew that the lease on their property was going to go up. So they were like, hey, do we to double down?
Do we need to have an office? Or do we need to expand? Or how can we shrink?
Can we move to the suburbs?
So let me ask you this. Did it measure anything, any kind of measurement in terms of like?
Yeah, they did like a full span. They were like what, first employees, how do you feel? Like, were you able to get stuff done? Also just checking like, hey, what time are people like sending emails versus what time are they sending it normally, and kind of just checking all around productivity. So they did like a bunch of metrics. I can't remember exactly everything, but
was it more productive or less productive, did you think?
They said it was actually more productive.
Oh, really?
I've always found that like working from home, it's always more productive for me.
Really? How about you, Raul?
Productive on some days, not always though. I don't think I can manage the same level of productivity with so much distraction at home. And I think that's probably very personal to me. But I've heard mixed things. Listening to colleagues, people have loved it. People have the flexibility to work at 2 a.m. and take a nap in the afternoon. So people are doing it.
I find so, that I, like... go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, Sean. The San Francisco way to ball is like definitely a thing. Like you think about it. Yes, a decent amount of people live in the city, but a lot of people don't. Like cutting out that hour and a half commute for some people. Like
you save 3 hours a day. Think about it.
Yeah,
that's true. When I was working for Google for a little bit, like it was like an hour and a half commute and I could not work on the bus. So like it was just
What?
Yeah. Not, like... you know, it's just like I couldn't work out. I would get like, I don't get dizzy. Motion get sickness, but I did on the bus. So yeah, yeah, it's hard to work. Like then you get 3 hours back just from that.
So for me, I was already used to working from home on Fridays already, and I worked from home pretty much at client sites. It was different for me because I just got switched out to a new project, and then I went to a new project without meeting a client, and we are meeting face to face. I turned on my camera on once, that's the whole entire project, to be honest, maybe twice. Like during the entire project for 6 months, you know? It was like my first day of the project and my last day of the project. That's the only time I think I turned on my camera.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was an interesting experience, but I was able to still build that relationship because the client was open to build that relationship though. And I feel like it varies per company, how the culture is. And for them, it was their first time getting everybody to work from home. And they had to bring up the speed, sending up laptops, sending out monitors, sending out everything, right? So it was a technological challenge for them as well. And so, and we had, as a consultant, we had to be more patient about it because they were just, you know, catching up with themselves up to speed. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this.
Consultant, right?
Yeah.
You're like always, you're never like in an office space, right? Or you're never in
we're at their office space, at their office, not our own office space. How about that?
Yeah, yeah. But like you could do that anywhere, right? Like you just have your laptop and you could work whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And so for me, my work habits did not change at all. Mm-hmm. But except I didn't travel and I gained back 12 hours almost, every, you know, I was probably like 10 hours a week. And that's 40 hours in a month. I gained
travel,
back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Did that hurt your platinum memberships? Are you still?
Yeah, it's true.
So they rolled it over for an extra year, so I'm good. Everything, they rolled on car rental, planes, statuses, hotel status to another year for us. So Raul, let me ask you this though. You know, well, I feel like you may have to experience this, but after month six, right, into this, what were some of the difficulty challenge besides meeting people that you encountered? Like, did you end up building some kind of set routine to make sure you didn't slack off or we didn't work too much? Like, I'm just wondering, like after month six.
Yeah, I think after the first 4 or 5 months, a lot of things changed. I got adapted to working from home, but it came with a change of routine. Definitely more work because there was no boundary, no segregation of work life and home life.
That's a good point.
That happened very, very with a smooth transition without even me realizing it. That started happening where I was just working all the time, and the expectation of being available all the time was kind of the new norm.
Mm. So hang on, let me pause you there for a second. So you said the expectation. Did the company set the expectation, or did you set the expectation?
No, I think it just people were expecting that they would, you know, expect replies in emails or Slack at 8 or 9 p.m. or weekends. Yeah, it was just like everyone was working all the time. And there wasn't really a clear demarcation of, okay, I'm leaving from work for home, so I won't be available for 2 hours. But it's kind of the new norm to say that you're not really stepping out. Even if you're stepping out, you're probably stepping out for some errands to run or for a workout, but that's like an hour and a half.
But is that a culture? Is that a company culture thing though? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, I think I would say that's a lot around the culture in my company, but it's a common theme that I've heard from friends as well, that it's probably not as crazy as I'm quoting for everyone, but it's been, you know, a common theme I've been hearing of how it's like, there's no Chinese wall to say that, okay, I'm done with work for the day. Let me go back to my personal life. Yeah.
There's no like, hey, I'm clocking out, right? I'm done, right?
Also, psychologically, it's like, what is this guy really doing at home? Like,
yeah.
Why
can't you work?
His computer's right there. Everything's there. You could just like get online and just do a little thing, and then we can find the answer, right?
I mean, we also have to think about it. It is the pandemic, and you know, while I guess all three of us like went to new companies that were hiring, you know, a lot of people were at companies that were looking at layoffs. Like when I was at Levi, like we were concerned about like, hey, are they gonna lay people off? They're saying they're not going to, but maybe they will. Let's make sure that I'm essential.
That's true.
Yeah.
And then when you're with the new company, it's just like establishing like I started a new company like mid COVID, and it was just, you want to make sure that they know, like, hey, I'm a good worker, yada, yada, yada. So
that credibility, that heart, that ethic there to make sure the image is there. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
So that's true. So for you, Sean, let me ask you, like, pre-COVID in your new company, or even during COVID, right, when you started the company, I guess, did that set any kind of expectation of how you should work from home?
Like right when COVID hit, we kind of set a baseline. I had a kid, and daycare closed. So there was 87 days where...
So they understood at least, though. That's good.
Yeah. My boss had two kids, and it was kind of... it was just crappy. Yeah. It was literally, I'd work for 4 hours. Then I'd take care of a kid for 4 hours, do a little bit of dinner, bed, get back on at 9, work again probably for another 2 to 4 hours. So,
Jesus. So you and your wife took shifts, right?
Yeah, they take shifts for sure.
Yeah, it wasn't exactly ideal. Like, kind of work got done, but I don't think it was great for me.
But so at least sounds like your company was able to adapt to your situation a little bit, right? So that's good though. But also at the same time, you had to put the effort because you're brand new. You were trying to make sure that you were showing face pretty much at the end of the day. That's what it comes down to, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
I think a lot of companies did realize that it's going to be tough to kind of understand how best to be productive and how to really manage schedules. And they were supportive in terms of, giving people time back, during the day. Like, my company came up with a policy that there should be no meetings from 11:30 to 12:30 every day. There should be no meetings.
Also, have your lunchtime. Make sure you have a lunchtime. Make sure you have a break time. Yeah. Make sure you have... Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, respecting people's personal lives, taking care of children, taking care of elders in the family. They were very supportive from that perspective to accommodate different schedules. That's one thing which was probably a learning exercise for a lot of companies. Different from what Sean was explaining is that some companies were prepared to kind of go remote, but these are companies who did not expect this coming, and for them it was more like, let's evolve and let's learn through the process as we go.
Yeah, I think most companies were not, they had no expectations of going remote, and then it is like, all right, now we got to do it. So then you just have to like learn on the fly and figure it out. And I think they're like, after a few months, they learned what, like they listening to their employees, they can see what the repercussions have been and how it's changed and how they need to change and evolve with the business.
So for you guys, it sounds like your company has like maybe taken a step back in the sense that every month they took like a pulse to see how everyone's doing in a sense, right? And then they had like probably like big webinars or whatever it is. So at least I experienced that in my company. Every month they took a pulse of it to see how people are doing, because especially like Sean, there are a lot of people in our situation as well. There's no daycare, kids are not in school, and they were like, and they were working from home in a sense, like, with a lot of background noise, having meetings and stuff. So at least from my aspect of that, but I guess my own personal experience, I don't have that issue. And so I have no kids, obviously, but for me, my ability to adapt to that was easier. But I think I had the issue where I did not know when to stop, because I still were doing emails at 11 o'clock at night to 1 o'clock in the morning, because it was right there. I was like, oh, wow. I get answered for this with this client right away, right now, because I don't have to do this tomorrow morning. I just do it right now. So I was sending email 2 in the morning, and stuff. And I had to learn to build better boundaries for me. So,
yeah, I agree with that. Like, the boundaries thing was a big issue. I think it's still an issue, even a year later, right? Like, when I started a new company, there's not as much work that you're doing. So then you're like, oh yeah, I'm easing in to this. But then as soon as like I got started into like real work, there was no boundary. Like I just like worked until I was done, and then that would be like super late into the night. And before, there would be like I would work in the office and I could work as late as possible, and then I walk home. And at home, you're still like connected to the computer, but like not as much, right? You have that separation between what you're doing at work and what you're doing at home.
Yeah. I was just thinking about this morning, because I worked for like 2 hours today. It's like, you think about it, like if you are, concerned about COVID and you're not like hanging out with a ton of people and not doing a bunch of stuff, and you actually like your job,
Yep.
At a certain point during COVID, you watched all the stuff you can watch in your circle. You've hung out with everybody enough, or like to your tolerance level. And you're like, well,
what do I do now?
Let me just do some work.
Yeah. So you become more productive, though. That's true, though.
Yeah, and it's just like at a certain point, like it's not so much the company kind of mandating or even you trying to like cover or protect your ass. Like you're just like, I don't have shit to do. Like I've watched everything I want to watch on Netflix. Like there's nothing else on. Mm-hmm. And if you enjoy your job, I mean, if you don't enjoy your job, you'll probably find something else. But
yeah,
there's a whole different issue there. But I agree, Sean. I agree with you because in that aspect, for me, like, I did. When I was going to client site, when the client left, the lights went out. So okay, shit, we gotta go. You know what I mean? So we had to leave the office.
Lights went out. They didn't have automatic lights.
Yeah, that's what they did.
The motion sensor light. White.
No. The purposely, one of my clients purposely had lights turned off at 6:30 p.m. to make sure everyone left the office.
Oh wow!
It's because they wanted that work-life balance for people, right? And so we couldn't. We couldn't come back into the office after 6:30 because they make sure people don't come back. You know, like, you know, they stay away from the office, and then the resets at 5 a.m. again. But still, it's clever, but it was bad for people. We're like, oh crap, we gotta go back to the hotel and work, right? But at least it created that separation a little bit, though. So
Rahul, didn't that Lending Club have like a time when all the lights shut off, and then everybody like we found like the light switch to turn it back on.
Yeah. And it would keep switching off every 30 minutes. I
think after I'm telling you, they're warning you. They hit your 30-minute warning. Go home.
Hey, you got to go home. Yeah, but no. It was too much work.
Yeah.
Going back to Sean's point, I think that was a norm for a lot of people because you don't have anything else to do and you always have work to do. There's always something pending. People would go back to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. And I personally had the same challenge. My wife had the same challenge. We started doing is figuring out how do we figure out something else to do. We came up with our own new hobbies in the process in the last few months. But yeah, it's nice. A challenge.
So wait, what kind of hobby you guys built together? Just wondering, what kind of hobbies?
My wife definitely started cooking a lot more. I started doodling a little bit.
Nice.
Was it food got better? Worse?
Yeah. Did you food? How did her cooking get?
Yeah.
Food. I think she started experimenting a lot in terms of like different cuisines, which she did not initially have the time. But now because of say lesser commute, balance of time, she started doing all of that.
So you were the guinea pig.
Yeah, nice. Because Wong started working out more, but I'm not seeing any results. So.
What do you mean? So okay, my challenge is different. My challenge was because I was on my butt sitting there for 12-13 hours a day straight. I wanted to make sure that I at least get my 15-20 minute workout in, whether no matter what it is, and just to build that habit. And then if I had time, I do double the workout. But I never. And this year's challenge is different compared to last year or the year before. You know. So for me, it was just, you know what, let's make sure I do this every single day and stay active, especially because I'm working from home, right? But now after one quarter in, now I kind of up my challenge a little bit differently because now I'm trying to work on performance still. You know, for example, because my concern was that, can I keep up every day, first of all? Like, I don't want to get injured.
But do you contribute all of this because you're working from home, or is it something which is more like a lifestyle change you wanted? Like how much?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of both. I always pick something that I want to change or break a habit bad out of. So for example, I had a barely bad habit of breaking out of like when I got into, let's say that I want to work out and let's say during the push-up challenge, right? Even though I could do 100 push-up, whatever it is, but it didn't mean anything because it didn't contribute to my habits, like to my change of my habits. Because after the push-up challenge, I didn't continue doing the push-up, right? I just continued doing other stuff, but then I was also like, let's say, overeating or whatever it is and so forth. And so now, because now I'm not as active as I am when I'm walking around, going to the office or taking a coffee break or, you know, whatever, or going or chit-chatting, whatever. I want to make sure that I took the time and I made my health a little bit more higher priority. So like I wasn't focused on, okay, I'm trying to lose weight here right now. I'm trying to lose 30 pounds, 50 pounds. My goal is just to stay active.
So you said like after the push-up challenge, you didn't keep going. After this challenge, you think you're gonna keep going to the gym?
No, I'll keep going to the gym, but I think it's just now for me. Okay, so for example, it's been 100 days now, actually exactly 100 days right now. Mm-hmm. And my expectation was like, you know what, let me try to figure it out. How can I stay active without getting injured? And then now I'm working on my performance. So I finally got my mile down under 8:30, which is great after one quarter. So now I'm going to work on performance. I'm going to try to work on now. Let's focus on perhaps try to lean out in terms of body fat. So I'm trying to stack up quarter by quarter, but I just want to stay active. I don't want to progressively slowly try to improve on certain things.
Yeah, because I could do challenges all day and it won't be a lifestyle change. It'll just be a challenge. That's how everything was that I've done.
And for me now, I itch for it. I said, you know what? Oh crap! I gotta do this now because it's only I have no excuse. It's only 15, 20 minutes a day minimum, right? I could do more than that though.
I think Robert, I know what you're trying to say. Sean, challenged you to cook, and you did that for a couple of weeks, maybe 20 weeks. 20.
Yeah, I did it for 20 something weeks.
Definitely was not 20 weeks.
Oh, it was. It was 20 weeks.
What?
I have 20 episodes. Yeah.
It was 20 episodes. Yeah. It was 20 weeks.
20 weeks that I did it for. Wow. And then afterwards, I was like, all right, not doing it again for a while. Like, I don't, like, that wasn't, it's not like a, it was, but it wasn't like a passion, right? Like, I didn't have a passion for it where I'm like, oh, this is like every day when I do it, I'm so happy I'm doing it. Which, I don't know. I think I would need something like that for me to keep going and see,
I have the passion to stay active, right? For me, and this is why I learned how to play tennis during this time. I learned how to play volleyball during this time now. And so, like, I really wanted this to, okay, you know what? I'll find an excuse to stay active somehow. So now I'm getting better at tennis. I'm slightly getting better at volleyball. But now next quarter, I'm gonna join a social volleyball club to practice that more and whatever and so forth. So
I think a big thing for me was like COVID depression or whatnot. At a certain point, like it happens, like probably every 2 or 3 months, you just get like, oh, I'm doing the same thing every day, like rinse and repeat. And I think for me, it was just like, I don't know, after kid got back into daycare and like kind of getting into that rut, I was like, all right, I can't really control like what's going on, but like if I'm gonna have a routine, let me make a routine that's gonna like let me come out stronger. So it's like started reading the Bible more, started working out every day, and like just like started flossing, just like these are gonna be like the three new things that I'm gonna like add to my routine.
Those type of things.
It's like none of flossing them
is important.
Like, yeah, none of them are like things that I would do on a norm. But it's like at least I can come out of COVID like stronger, like smarter, like more mentally, spiritually. Like
your dentist doesn't like hearing that you don't floss on the normal, but now COVID.
But now, I'm like in a routine, like literally every day. Sean, I have to floss Listerine.
Sean found a new passion.
A new there passion is flossing.
new passion is flossing and working out.
and the real flossing, not the dance flossing.
So it was just about like controlling what I can control.
That's true. Yeah. That's actually a good way to put that. And at the end of the day, I kind of learned that through COVID more. It's like control what you can control, right? So I start being smart with my time, where I was blocking an hour calendar for myself to do a workout or take a 30-minute nap. I was tired because I was working, you know, it was the night before doing 2:30 morning emails and stuff. So I started being more kind of taking my time back for myself a little bit more without kind of dropping productivity in a sense. So, but I mean, to you though, Sean, like, let me ask you this. Obviously, you still do the Peloton, right? And I know you were doing that every single day for a while. Are you still doing that? Okay. So you enjoy it, right? Doing that, right?
Yeah. I mean, I like working out. Like if you think back to like work, I will work out every day at work. So like this is just kind of.
So, but do you itch for it when you don't?
I don't not work out. See? I'm 170 days strong.
170 days strong. That's great. That's good though.
I don't itch for it at all.
See, I itch for it.
Did you ever itch for it though?
No, there was in high school, I worked out a lot, right? Like, so I worked out so much, but I think it was a lot more social than I think about it. Now that I think about it, I think it's way more social because I would go there and hang out and like that. Those are my buddies, right? Those are all my buddies were there. So then after high school, like I didn't have friends who were going like at the gym. So then now everyone's everywhere else. And I'm everywhere.
That's the track athlete in me. Like, track is generally speaking an individual sport. So I did that in high school and just kept doing it in college. And it's like, gotcha. I hate doing boot camps and other stuff with people. I just like want to work out.
Well, I mean, you like your individual workout by yourself, right? So that's
the thing. Yeah.
and you want to just get it done, just get it, you know, be efficient, just move on, you know, type of deal.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, pivoting, talking about, you know, habits and working out, stuff of that. So, like, what are the, you know, if you can name two good habits that you build out of working from home, what would that be? Raul, you want to start with that?
Two good habits.
Yeah, two good habits and two bad habits that you caught yourself on.
Probably my bad habits can go much, much longer, more than two for sure. I think good habits, I would say definitely taking care of myself. One thing I've learned was the extra time that I now have because of lesser commute or because of just trying to force myself into limiting the work hours. I think it has made me a little more conscious around what is the right thing for me to do in terms of like eating habits, sleeping habits, like trying to find, you know, other things, hobbies, keeping like a disconnect between work and non-work stuff. That's one thing which I've probably done the most. And I've been like, again, learning through it. It's not like I figured it out. It's still something which is
work in progress.
But yeah, that's work in progress. The second thing I think is, you know, going back to finding your passion. I did realize there are a lot of ideas in my mind which I wanted to execute on, and I'm starting to put pen to paper. Again, it's a process, but that has helped me kind of focus on you know, focus my energy and time on things which could probably turn out to be the next leap in terms of like my career or long-term growth, personal growth. So that's what I'm doing. Bad habits, definitely I'm eating a lot more cake, a lot more.
Is it your wife's fault? Is it your fault though? Hang on. Is it your wife's fault for
Cooking, right?
No, I have a lot
no
more
wife slander there on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think putting that out there.
Yeah. It's okay. She's not gonna listen to this. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. She's probably listening to me from the next room. I have no idea. No, I think the bad habits. Definitely, I have a lot more cheat days now.
Cheat days.
While I'm trying to control my food habits, I still have a lot more cheat days. Mm. So I eat a lot of I have a sweet tooth, so that's something which I keep for Sundays, and probably I go overboard while doing that. The second is definitely while I try to work out, it's not been enough. And I kind of give up easily at times only because like it's just not that great in terms of like wanting to step out, go for a run, go for a bike ride. So it's been a challenge on both sides. But bad habits, I think one thing for sure, that, you know, I tend to kind of give up or get distracted easily with things going on.
It's easy to get distracted at home, for sure. 100%.
For sure. Yeah.
I agree with that part. I actually want to tag on after you because there's two bad habits that I kind of caught myself doing as well, similar to yours. Being distracted, working from home in a sense. And because you literally, like, you can have five screens next to you and something, and then you have the chat going on or you can have a podcast going on, but it's very easy to get distracted and just.
Our podcast, right? You're listening to our podcast.
Our podcast. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But the second thing is that actually I also have a sweet tooth, but I also noticed that when I tend to overeat because I'm stressed out. And I caught that and I realized probably the last 6-7 months I was trying to identify what was causing that stress, even though I'm working from home. And it was, I mean, at the end of the day, obviously it was just a deadline, things like that. And then that's when I realized, okay, I had to acknowledge that stress, and then I've been becoming better at it and being more aware of mindful what I'm eating. So it's something to think about. Maybe perhaps you could be stressed out about certain things that you may never know. It's just a backup habit of being just triggering that. But yeah, so for good habits for me is that I purposely put my time for myself more and more now, you know, working on some soft skill set, obviously try to work on this podcast, doing like improv stuff, and then try to be more active, trying to, you know, learn new sports. And then the second habit for that, I mean, second good habit, I think that I'm still working on is that I'm trying to stay focused on one thing, like one thing at a time, because I used to multitask all the time, all different things, and not pay attention to a lot of things, and or semi pay attention to certain things. And then I realized, okay, I'm making a mistake here and here and there too much. So now I'm just trying to focus on one thing at a time now. So, yeah.
I can piggyback onto that. Yeah. Like the focus thing is like a big thing. Like I'll have like 6 projects I'm working on at once, and then I'll do like, 2% of each one each day or something. It would be like I'm switching between everything, and like learning to focus all of your energy on one thing and just like block all the other stuff out.
Just tuning out, yeah.
It's like a big thing that you have to learn, because otherwise, like, you'll get so distracted throughout the day working from home, and like it's just your home. So like everything you see reminds you of something else. Whereas at work, everything you see reminds you of work, right? So you're like, okay, you have to like get yourself focused so that you're like, all right, I'm gonna do this work today and do this and this specific stuff. For me, I don't know how many good things I've added, but I know a lot of bad things I've added. And actually, the first one, I don't know if it's even like a, I don't know, it's good and bad, is that I stopped eating. Like, I've eaten a lot less. I don't stress eat. So then for me, like, when I'm working, I'm like so focused that I don't ever eat, right? And,
have you lost weight?
I don't think so, because I eat late as well, right? Oh. So it'll go from like, I eat one meal, but it's at like midnight, and it's like a bigger, I don't know if it's a bigger meal. But
is it because you're working so much and you forgot to eat? Is what happened?
Yeah, it's just like, I just don't remember to eat until it's like,
so you're in the
5 o'clock, 6 o'clock at night, and then I eat again at like midnight or something. So
he is intermittent fasting, but at the wrong time.
Yeah, it's like the wrong time of intermittent fasting. Yeah, so that's intermittent fasting, good thing, but eating late, bad thing, right? So it's I don't know, it's a mix of the two.
Right. How about you, Sean? Two bad things.
I think it's all good for me. It was literally the dental hygiene, doing real good there. Workout, it's going great. Like, it definitely is helping me mentally, just kind of like stay more on track, and kind of like just adding something there. And definitely like the reading, just like as you guys know, I usually just skim things, so now I'm actually reading whole chapters.
Wow, this is wow, a brand new thing. It's a new shot.
I mean, it's like old English though, also. So it's like.
So what have you been reading? What have you been reading the past couple of months?
It's just been like Bible stuff. So I read like a couple Bible verses or chapters a day.
Gotcha. Why made you decide to read the Bible verses? Just wondering.
It was actually you that kind of like pushed it more, because you started asking to like post the workout challenges online, and I was like, I don't like posting stuff online, and I'm actually posting like workout things, which make me feel uncomfortable, but I'm not going to post like a Bible verse like every couple of days. So like that kind of pushed it along a little bit. Gotcha. But then I stopped posting both of them. So
I know,
because I don't like to post stuff.
I do it to hold myself accountable. That's the reason why. It's my mental trigger to hold myself accountable, because if I don't do that, sometimes like I don't want to, and I also don't like to break promises to myself. You know what I mean? So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. But like, as far as bad habits, I would say like I did have a little bit of a moment where I crept into like what you were talking about then, where I would just like work and miss meals. I think the big thing was for me, like I would just not eat later on. I would just not replace that meal. And I definitely did notice a little bit of weight loss there, but like going through that, I was like no, we're just gonna stop this.
Wait, didn't your wife feed you? Hey, have some meal. Like,
I'm the cook in the house, so
yeah. So if he doesn't cook, then there's no food.
There's no food.
If I don't cook, there's no food.
Wow.
So
there is something called Uber Eats, you know.
Also,
yeah.
I was watching Top Chef, the newest Top Chef that's out, and all of them. This is like a post-COVID thing, or like they're like still like it's current, right? So they were saying how like a lot of their restaurants closed, and a lot of them developed like drinking habits, right? So they're all drinking way more. And then they have like now they're not drinking anymore. They're like all quit drinking. And I don't think I found that during college. I think during COVID. I think I didn't drink because I've already told myself I'm not drinking without other people. And so I just stopped drinking, and I haven't really been negatively impacted by that.
So you haven't had withdrawal?
Mm-mm. I only drink on this podcast. That's the only time I drink.
Oh, get out of here. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, it's I got because I told myself I'm not drinking without other people there. So then if there's no one here, there's no one to drink with.
Do you purposely sometimes just, you know, FaceTime Sean? Hey, want to drink?
No. Sean don't agree. Like, this doesn't
happen. We don't talk outside of this podcast. Yeah,
that's it. It's the only time we talk.
All right. Well, okay. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to jump into the funny segment section. You want to kick it off, Robert?
Sure, yeah. I'll send this link over to everybody. So I saw this the other day, and I was like, wow, this is crazy. It's not a funny thing, but it is an interesting thing. It's a monkey who's playing Pong with his mind, right? So
I think he blows into a tube, isn't it?
Yeah, so he blows into a tube, and then, like, through that, they can, and they have, like, stuff on his head, on his brain to, like, see what it's doing, and then they have it. Yeah, and then he has a little, like, what is it called? A thing to, like, move stuff with, like, to move it, and then eventually they take that away, and they're just using the sensors from his mind, so to move the ball around.
Oh, that's really cool. He has a joystick.
That's what I'm saying. There's a joystick that he can move the ball around, and eventually they've gotten enough information so that they could take out the joystick, and it'll just move by itself with whatever he's thinking. So if he says, oh, I want the ball to go up, it'll go up. But then, like, the joystick is just there as a as just so that he has something as a reference.
But they just remove the functionality of the joystick.
Yeah, they just remove the functionality, right? And so, yeah, they unplug it, and then now he just uses it. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, and then towards the end, he plays Pong with just, like, what he's thinking. Like, there's no joystick or anything. He's just blowing into it, and that's it.
How deep in your YouTube spiral? Like, what hour is this? Your YouTube spiral?
Maybe like no, I'm just joking. This came from brand new.
This is April 8th. This is brand new.
This came from work. Like, we have a Slack channel at work that's called Random, and then someone posted it on Random, and I watched. I was like, oh shoot, this
this monkey's better than me. I am Pong.
Yeah. So they're using this to, like, make it so that people who are paralyzed can start doing stuff. That's what they're planning on. But, you know, there's always this negative stuff that's gonna happen. You know, the next Hitler is gonna use it to, like, take over the world, and it's. But, like, yeah, but it's crazy. Like, I watched. I was like, oh, all man, right. This is nuts.
All right, I'm gonna follow up with that with this. It's a little mini video. I think this is maybe in some kind of Asian country, third world country, and pretty much it's a video of, it's titled expensive phone. That's an expensive phone. And so this is this girl who pretty much in a motorcycle with her friend sitting in the back, and she just, you know, they're not driving, so just sitting in the sidewalk, and she sneezes into a napkin, and she looks at the napkin, and then a guy comes by and just grabs the napkin because he thought it was something
expensive. He thought it was her cell phone?
Her cell phone, yeah.
Or maybe he just really wanted
a dirty napkin,
her DNA.
He's like, I need to reproduce with this.
Yeah. I'm gonna make a clone, and
I guess
and then I'm gonna get that mind thing to make her do whatever I want.
I guess, but it's just such a random thing, because usually I've seen people snatch cell phone like that in Asian countries all the time, but, like, obviously he was trying to look for something valuable, right? So but yeah,
I mean, he got something else.
Yeah, never know, she might be super famous and he could sell that online one day.
Exactly.
All right, Raul, Sean, what do you guys have for us?
I don't have anything to share, like an image or a video, but one thing that comes to mind with this whole work from home topic, very embarrassing moment that I had. We're always on Zoom calls and always trying to be conscious of what we share on screen. Yep. I've never had a moment where I'm wearing shorts and showing myself off on screen, so I didn't have that moment. But there was a time when I forgot to mute myself and my dog was right next to me. And, you know, like many people, you would have, if you have a kid or an infant at home, you have baby talk, and I have a dog next to me.
Good doggy.
Yeah, and I started doing that at a meeting of like 10 people. That was embarrassing. But yeah, I wanted to share that. Yeah.
Did they ask you to show your dog after? Like,
yeah, the next 10 minutes was just all of us about talking about dogs, but it was kind of embarrassing because we had senior leaders in those meetings. And
now you have a dog whisperer.
Yeah,
there we go. Raul the dog whisperer. What's the dog's name?
Bubbles.
Bubbles? Are you like, oh, Bubbles, come to Papa, give me a cuddle. Nice. How about you, Sean?
For me, I posted a link in the thing, the but yeah, so my mind is very random, and I was thinking about Justice League, which unleashed the Zack Snyder.
Did you watch it?
I haven't watched it. I don't have the HBO Max account.
Hey, I gave you mine, so you could use.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, parent just haven't had 4 hours to sit down and watch.
That's true. It is 4 hours, but it's split into segments, so you can
you pause
watch
it.
One segment at a time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's what's this link about then?
So this link was about the original Justice League. I don't know if you guys watched it when we were growing up, but they had like the original cartoon Justice League, and there was like Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman. There was like a tornado guy or whatnot. And then there were the Wonder Twins. And I was just thinking, I was talking to my wife about it. I was like, yeah, you remember the Wonder Twins? They had the most ridiculous powers. Like literally Wonder Twin powers activate. They would like hit this and the girl, the sister, would turn into like any animal. She would like turn into an elephant, turn into like a Bengal tiger. And then the brother would turn into any form of water. And it would always be the stupidest, like
thing. Any form of water. That's his thing.
So like there was literally steam. Yeah, there was literally like, most of the time he would turn into something ice or water related to help her like commute. Like I think in the clip, it's like she turned into an octopus and he turned into a ice unicycle that she could ride somewhere. Then there was another incident where he like turned into water and they like grabbed a bucket and put him in it. While she was like a tiger, it just like ridiculous. Like, why are they here? Like, but watch the video. It's like super funny, but it's just like ridiculous.
You can tell the 70s,
60s.
You can tell the writer ran out of ideas, you know.
Or I mean, it was the 60s, 70s. Like everybody was on drugs. They were just like,
that's true. Why not?
Give this a try.
This is a trip. This could be a trip, you know.
Let me
ask you this, Sean.
Wait, do we need to let Rahul go?
Yeah, we'll take a break a second.
I think Rahul, you get to stay on for a little bit.
No, I'll probably have to bail out now.
No worries.
All right, you want to pimp anything before you go?
No, I think one thing which I took away out of this is Robert, you're not drinking. Sean is not socializing for drinks as well. So I think we need to meet outside the podcast to do this again.
I know, but I only talk to people on this podcast. That's the only time I ever talk to anybody. We'll
probably do this again without the recording.
Okay, all right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate that was mine.
Don't be a stranger.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
A
few moments later.
Is Sean taking a lunch break right now?
Just give me like one more minute. I just need to go greasy egg. Can I eat on the podcast?
Sure.
I haven't eaten all day.
I haven't eaten either.
Me neither.
A little later.
I made dumplings the other day.
Which kind of dumplings?
Scratch?
I don't know if it's so like the outside isn't for scratch, but the inside basically was.
Oh, you mean like actually not the American dumplings, actually Asian dumplings that you have to put together.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, dude. Those are easy too.
Wow. Nice. Everything's easy, Mike. It's not easy.
I used to make 1,000 of them for my parents' restaurant.
I know, but that's because you're in the restaurant industry.
I know. But I know a lot of these people does a lot of dumplings themselves, though.
I don't know, but my family didn't do dumplings. That wasn't
there. You guys did spring rolls, right? A lot of spring rolls, probably.
But I never helped with any of that.
It's your own fault, though.
I mean, I don't know if it's a fault. I'm pretty happy not doing it. So
1 hour later.
All right, that's a nice break. I know Raul leaving us, it makes us, you know, a little bit sad, but we still have Sean here. So welcome back, Sean. Thanks for sticking around, unlike somebody else, you know, but that's not me.
Wow.
I'm just kidding.
I haven't watched any other podcast, but
he's never going to come back on.
He's not coming back. He loves
every podcast after I'm on, they're probably like, thank God you're here. We had this black guy who was just
like, all right, so let's go back to the original topic we're talking about, working from home. So obviously now as COVID, you know, still around and things opens back up, vaccine, you know, being, you know, being distributed, some offices are, you know, some companies are actually promoting offices, you know, coming back slowly, triggering back up, right? Maybe not towards the end of this year or early next year, but what would the ideal scenario would be to have the perfect balance working from home? Sean, how about you?
Perfect balance working from home.
And the office, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I guess go to the consulting template. Like, let's get rid of your desk and start doing, like, hoteling in to a particular desk. And then, like, I'm thinking, like, a 2 to 3 day, like, in office work week. I think that's, like, that right fix. Because, like, we've proven for 12 months we don't have to be in-house constantly. Be great if WeWorks wasn't such a trash company, and you know,
that's true.
They could profit off of this, but
yeah,
I really see that, like, that's gonna be something that's gonna happen. Like, a lot of companies are gonna go to this not 5 day a week format.
So you're saying hoteling and, like, book a reservation for your desk and just come in at those 2-3 days straight.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's also. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I also think that, like, the WeWork type of workspaces are going to be really big going forward, just because companies, they know they don't need all of this overhead, right? So then you'll have it's better to just rent out spaces, like floors, instead of having an entire building that's theirs, that now people working from home, like, you're getting the same or more productivity. So might as well have this type of work where, like, you can come in if you want, but we don't need this much space.
But you don't think that impacts, I mean, obviously this probably has impacted culture dramatically. So you don't think, let me ask you this though, like, if that happens, right, and you still have the flexibility, especially the hoteling situation, you may not be the same desk as your desk buddy, you know what I mean? You know how you build that relationship with a desk buddy in the same cubicle, same area, you run into the same people over and over again, and you cultivate that relationship? Going forward, you're not going to be able to do that probably.
But I mean, I think you're still going to talk to people outside of your department when you run in there. Like, the WeWork, there's going to be like crossover between, like, people that you know that you're going to, like, go to the water cooler with, and then those people are going to know other people, and you're going to get to interact that way. So I still think that stuff is going to happen, and just may not happen quite as rapidly or as organically as it did before, but it'll still happen. And, you know, I live by a model of no new friends, so
yeah, we're fine. We're good. No new friends, we're good. No, I agree. Like, it's also like, it's not gonna be the same work-life culture, and I don't know if we should be embracing it like that. I don't know if we should be, like, pushing for a work-life culture that is what it was like before. Maybe we should just be evolving into something new. And that might be what we really need, right? Is that we have these temporary desks, and you'll meet new people throughout, like, whenever you come in. But there's always going to be those people that want to come in every day, and they need that separation. So those people will be there constantly, and they can stay there. And then you'll have people rotating in and out of those other seats.
So let me tell you from my personal experience booking those hotel desks and situations, because that's what we're doing consulting. I hate them because sometimes one, there's not enough desks for everybody, because sometimes there's just, when we all come in on Friday, sometimes there's just not enough desks. Mm-hmm. And then two, part of it is that I like to have that stability of knowing that, okay, you know what, this is my space. At least, and I don't guarantee this is gonna be my space. I don't have to worry about it, and it's nice to have that. Like, so for me, like, working from home is nice because I have, you know, my set of my GoPro monitors. This is my space. This is how it is. But if I go to an office, I would like to have the same exact setup. You know what I mean? And every desk is slightly different, or, you know, every, you know, you may be stuck to a window where you have get ugly glares, and then you may be stuck into a closet area which is pitch black. And
when you're do you get to choose where you sit at work? Like, is that what you think, like, work life is? Because I think the 9-to-5 people They don't get to choose their desk. They
just, yeah, we don't get to choose like the window seat that overlooks. Yeah,
the
like,
window
the
seat is mainly for the people that are like our managers or higher up, or they've been there for a while. Like,
well,
like,
that's what I'm trying to say. Though. Like,
also, the thing is, if you go to a 3 day work week, like you probably set people up in areas where, hey, these departments are going to be working in office mm-hmm. these particular days. Hey, the third floor has good views. Like, let's just use that floor. Like, let's not dirty up every floor of our building or every that's area true. More of our building.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And you have rotation of cleaning. You have rotation of whatever you got to do.
And I'm pretty sure
they still have to clean. I think they still have to clean the whole building.
Just, yeah. They still clean the Salesforce building, even though there's no one ever there.
So what I'm saying with the hotel situation, I don't have control of that. So I don't know what to sit next when I'm coming back because someone could book before me, right? Could have taken that.
Well, you're in consulting. I don't think it'll be quite like that for non-consultants. Yeah. I think we'll hotel, but it'll be like, hey, you'll hotel.
This is your area. You're hoteling this area.
Yeah.
Gotcha. It'll be areas, and the people who are there every day are going to get the better seats no matter what anyway.
See, I do miss about the – I like having office food, so I do miss that. So, like, you know what? Having those snacks, those coffee, those food, I actually want that back, you know? Like, I wouldn't mind going to an office just to have that break, you know? Force myself to break, to grab a snack, whatever it is, and then come back. Because I don't do that at home right now.
I don't miss the office food that much, but I do miss
it's just the chit chatting, the environment, social environment after that. So
I miss
like walking to the kitchen. Even though I'm like I never get anything there. I just walk into the kitchen and you're like, oh, hey, I see this person. Yeah. And then just hang out for a little bit.
Yeah, get steps on your
get 100 steps in to remind you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But then I think I really just miss like the brain part. Keep going.
No, I mean, for me, one of the biggest things that I don't miss is that.
Sorry, fluorescent lights. I miss the fluorescent lights. For my job, I visit really? Sites every now and then, and I went to like one of the warehouses, but like their front end was like really, really nice, like actual office building before you get to the warehouse. Yeah. And I was just like, oh man, this is just like. Nice hearing that little faint frequency of a buzz, like in the background.
And how bright it is, right? Like it just like keeps you awake because it's so bright. I remember when we first started working from home, it was so dark at my desk. It was like you go from like sun up to sundown, right? So sundown and it gets so dark, and you're like, oh man, I am getting tired just sitting here in the dark. So that's why I bought these lights for the podcast, but also I use them for work because they're super bright and I love it. Like I love
simulation your own fluorescent lights.
Yeah, I simulate my own. I was like, is there a way for me to hang lights off the ceiling or whatever? But it's probably not a good idea. So I just bought these lights and it works perfectly.
I don't know. Lights.
Hey guys, can you give me 1 second to grab my drink?
Sure. Right,
yeah, I don't know. So for me, I don't think fluorescent lights does it for me.
You don't like them?
I don't care about lights. It doesn't matter. I can work in the dark. I can work in the day.
It's just, it's not that I like the lights. It's that I like the brightness. Like when it's dark, I get tired easier. And it's just how my body works, I guess. I guess it gets darker and I'm like, oh man, now it's time to sleep.
So for me, it's temperature actually. So when it gets colder for me, I get more tired. And if it's warmer,
That's the opposite for me. If it gets warmer, I get really tired. But if it's cold, I'm like up and I'm like, okay.
Oh no, I'm like, I just want to cuddle. I gotta grab my blanket, especially if you're working from home, right? You just grab a blanket and you're like comfortable. And the more comfortable I am, the more I get sleepy.
No, I don't get the blanket. I only I stay cold. I'll put like a blanket on my like lower body. But then my fingers will be super cold and I'll be like, all right, I just got to work through this.
Now, and for me, temperature is a big deal. And this is why I got an office myself, just because I, you know what, I also created some separation from working from home type of deal. Mm. And I realized.
Are you at the office now?
Yeah, I'm at the office right now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I realized that if I don't create this separation, I'd never stop working. It just comes down to that. So like it's also a mindset, right? So for me, having going back to the office probably two to three times a week, I don't mind that because it helps you shift the mindset to kind of be a little bit more productive. But also it's the feeling of that, wow, I'm a physical feeling of this is the company I'm working for. This is the culture I feel. Like you cannot replace that with virtual, because it's very hard to replace that physical feeling of a company's culture. You know what I mean? Because you can see it. Or just feeling it. I guess
for me, like, because I have job hopped so much, like, it's all ones and zeros for me. It's like,
that's true. Yeah.
I'm still just doing a job. Like, it's like, I've literally gone from apparel to grocery items to random shit back to like grocery and back to like apparel. It's like, it's all ones and zeros at the end of the day, and it's all like easily transferable. So, and then like I've worked for like one of the biggest like hype companies, like it wasn't Nike, like Nike commercials are amazing, but like Under Armour, those commercials, they would play like those reels at the all hands. You'd be like, ah, that just does nothing for me.
Yeah,
I'm old, jaded, really employee.
So you never got drawn in because, oh, this is a cool brand I'm working for, in a sense.
Like I did at the beginning.
That faded away, though.
Yeah, it's all gone. How big is the paycheck? How happy are you making me?
So obviously that matters to me too. But like for me, obviously I go to different clients. With different client, I get a feel for their culture, right? I'm like, okay, cool. And I can see the drastic changes because I've gone through so many different industry, different clients. So I'm able to absorb that, and I'm able to understand that. You know what I mean? Like,
and yeah. So, but like for the company that you work for, the culture may not be the same.
Well, right? I still haven't felt for it yet because I've never been physically office working with people. That's what I'm trying to say. You know.
And I think, like for me, the culture is a lot of the people, right? So
yeah.
Like interacting with different people, like you get a sense of the culture based on how they hire. And the people that you interact with every day, and like you can see like certain like the company's culture out of the employees that they hire, and I think that is more of an indicator than going into the office, because going in the office is cool. Like it's cool. Sometimes you're like wowed by like that, but like it does fade after you've been there for a while, right?
Yeah.
And then, but you do miss the interactions with the people, which is the main thing.
Yeah, but I guess the only thing from work remote is, I fully agree with you, Den, but it's like, I can only interact so much virtually with people.
That's true. The last time I did another Zoom call, just to have happy hour with somebody else. I mean, if I've been on Zoom call.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, I don't want anything social on virtual. This, I don't want to do a Zoom happy hour. It's not my thing. I don't like it.
I remember this, right? I think it began COVID, the first couple of months, right? So we had a couple of virtual Zoom happy hours, and then I had to host game night virtually again with my friends. I was like, oh my god, okay, once or twice is cool, but then it was like every single other week. So I got so bored of it really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what's the hit rate on that? Like, I feel like right when COVID started, we were doing it like
every other week,
almost daily, or like every once a week, but like now I it never happens.
So yeah, when was the last time you did game night with Portia online with everybody else?
We did it just last week. We just didn't invite you.
Wow!
Whoa!
I was sorry. Invited. I was talking to Den. You were supposed to go along with it. You ruined the joke.
That's true. I mean, I was there. I was on. No. Yeah, I was.
Womp, womp, womp. Yeah, like, yeah, we just haven't done it. It's work. I mean, I guess for her, it's for like game work. Night, it's not just like as simple as like, let's play COVIDopoly and hop Correct. On. Like, she's like setting up questions and all that other stuff. Like,
yeah, we did do the wine night, which was nice.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. I missed that one.
It's nice to get together with people. But it's so much nicer. It's so much nicer in person.
Yeah. So I've been doing game nights in person now with a small group of people, which is a little bit closer because we kind of trust each other a little bit more.
We're not invited to that.
Yeah, because you're not here, though. You know? No. Physically, you're not here, you know? But
well, we're doing a Hot Ones challenge in a couple of weeks.
Oh, I'm what? Down.
At your house. I know you're down. We're going to your house.
Oh, you're in my house. Yeah, I'm down.
Yeah, I got
to
get out of
there. Wait, invite me to that. Me and Sam will do that. You know?
Okay. All right. Let's get back on topic.
Topics, right? All right. So, all right. We're going to wrap this episode up with this one question, finally. Okay. So, if if you had to, you know, pick one thing that you kind of taken out of working from home, right? Now, obviously, not like a lesson learned. It's more like, if I can do this, but at the office, what would that be? That would make you enjoy working at the office more. What would that be?
I have the opposite. Like, what would I want to be able to do? Like, what do we do in the office that I would want to be able to do online? Sure. I have that. Yeah. I want a whiteboard. I want to be able to like sit there and whiteboard with someone and like go and like we'll write stuff on the wall or the board or whatever. And then
that would be cool. Imagine you have a wall and then you just connect to somebody like Microsoft Teams or Zoom and they just start whiteboarding with you.
No, they have it. It just sucks. Like it doesn't feel the same.
Imagine you have peers next to you, like the whiteboard. Really?
No, like there's whiteboards on Teams or Meets or whatever.
He's talking about literally
a physical whiteboard.
You want to send everyone like a huge whiteboard that?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, and then I want to work for your company because apparently you guys just like throwing money out there to everybody. No, but yeah, it's hard, right? Like that's one thing that like you don't get
the collaboration as much.
Yeah, it's hard to collaborate and do whiteboarding is such a. It's such a sustained thing in like the tech industry that we're working in, and like we just go in and like, oh, this is how it works, and you can see it, and you're actually doing something, and it just like creates like more juices flow. And I actually agree with you
on that, because in consulting it's the same way, because when you're trying to explain elaborate business process to your client, mm-hmm. I rather just whiteboard it out. Hey, can you elaborate? Does this make sense? Does this process make sense? Or mm-hmm. does it this? No, no. Okay, so you don't do that, right? Let's correct this and let's correct that. Like literally, like as you trying to explain something or try to get some information out of them, whiteboarding the process.
It's easier to write than to type and drag it around. Like it's just it's just so much easier, which is one thing I miss about the office.
Well, I started doing that on Microsoft Teams with my current client, but it's such an annoying thing to do on Microsoft Teams. It's horrible.
Yeah, like, it's just not. It's not an easy thing to do. There should be a way where you can like get like an iPad or something connected in, and then you're writing on that iPad, and it just like shows up on screen.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. You get a physical whiteboard, and then suddenly stuff starts appearing in the whiteboard.
No, but they should be able to do it with iPads or something, right? Like,
yeah, I guess
it should be easier than shipping everyone like a $3,000 whiteboard that.
But you actually
automatically appears all this stuff.
I mean, doesn't Slack video kind of do it a little bit? Like where you can write.
I just don't want to be writing with my mouse, right? Like writing out anything with my mouse is so difficult.
So wait, your company hasn't given you an iPad yet? A tablet? Mm-mm. Wow.
Let's go into like what did your companies give you anything for like when you started going remote?
Of course not.
Come on. Oh, they didn't.
No, because we're already remote. Think about it for us. So we literally had a headset and a laptop. I said, what else do you want?
Wait, when you go into a company, right, and you're working for them, they don't provide you with a desk? And like all this stuff
at the client's desk.
Mm-hmm.
They usually throw us at the basement or a cubicle or meeting room. That's it.
Oh, so they don't give you monitors or anything to work off of.
Nope.
Oh, interesting.
If some clients are nice enough, they have set up desks ready with dual monitors. Then we then give us the space and we work on that. Right. I had a client, you know, who had a lot of desk space left, so they gave us the whole destination. Hey, this is you guys. I had a client where. Hey, when you have a meeting room here, you gotta use the meeting room. So it's like 20 of us in a tiny little meeting room. I remember working in the basement of an airport before for like 7 months.
Interesting. Yeah, that's not how. I worked for two companies during COVID, and both of them gave you either a stipend to like buy some stuff for your work from home space, or they sent you.
Wait, hang on. I did get a stipend of $50 to work from home.
Wow. Oh my god, so generous. Ooh. What did you spend it on?
Is that per day or?
Yeah, no, it's per hour, like per working hour.
No. It was $50. It was just $50. It was I ended up buying office stuff related. I was like, you know,
stay like pens and stuff.
Sticky notes, pens and stuff. Yeah.
Wow.
I don't want to be in consulting anymore.
Yeah, I knew consulting was bad, but wow.
Every firm is different, you know. So. How about you, Sean? Is there anything you want to take away from that you can, you know, either you work from home at the office or at the office or work from home, like one, I guess, object?
I definitely think, I guess, the learning over these 12 months of just like, hey, we we really need to, like, everyone's got like a different setup. Like, some people have kids, some people like have relatives that they're taking care of. Like, the understanding of like life happens outside of
office,
outside of the 9 to 5, and kind of like giving not work-life balance, work-life flexibility. It's like, we all have to get our 8 to 10 hours in, but just like how does that work? Like, are you fine with me like getting 4 hours in and then like hopping back on at 10. I think that kind of was there before with some companies and certain people, but just kind of that understanding now, like kind of transferring that back in.
I think it's a slight mindset shift, right? Like I know a lot of people that like their kids come on to the, like, they'll just like walk in, their kids will walk in and then they're like, oh, I'm so sorry, my kids are in. But like, everybody understands, right? Like, we're all working from home now.
Now everybody understands them now because they're more relaxed about it, because everybody understands. But I think going back to the office, though, I don't know, that might have changed back, though. I feel like that's
still it will. It'll change back.
So being in person as a consultant matters so much, because they're like, oh, he's here, he's actually working. You know what I mean? So just that imagery of that, right?
I disagree. Sorry to cut you off. I disagree, because like that can be like at any company, like any particular company. Like, some bosses just like want to see you at the desk,
correct,
until like 6-5 a.m. Like that.
But
I'm not gonna name names of companies I've been with, but like that was like the culture.
But that's what I'm trying to say, though. Like,
but like the big thing is like output. Like, it doesn't matter like how long am I sitting at this particular desk. Like, what are my results versus the person that's working like a 60-hour week?
It's not the FaceTime, right?
Yeah,
sometimes it is the FaceTime to some people, to certain companies.
But I don't know. I've always lived by a policy: whatever you do to get somewhere is what you have to do to stay. And I refuse to just like work.
Oh, I'm
hours
a rebel.
And hours and hours.
I'm a
rebel.
Yeah.
But and that's why I've left any of those companies that I left. Generally had that policy.
No, but I mean, I'm a rebel by that, regardless, because it's just. But at the end of the day, though, like I know that there are companies, there are clients like that, and you just want the FaceTime, you know. So. Yeah. Because they're paying whatever dollar amount for this, man. They want to make sure you're there, you know, in a sense. And obviously, it has been a little bit harder for companies to trust.
But does that really, really work? Because, like, you think about it, like, the longer you're there, the more they're billing. And if you can get the work done in less hours.
That's what we tell them. And
that's why they need the FaceTime. A lot of FaceTime where they don't do anything. then they can bill it.
That's not true, but it depends. So, but I also depends. Like I said, depends on the client, depends on the project. Some people just some clients have already budget this project. They got to spend the money, right? And they if they don't spend it, they don't get it next year. You understand
no.
that?
No, so, sorry.
Yeah. So it really varies, though. But I mean, going back to, for me at least, if I can take away one thing, though, like I do wish, like I think it's probably picking back on your, like that having that understanding, the flexibility, you know, shit, life happens, type of deal. But more to like an extreme, and more to like, for example, like if I would go to a client, I want to make sure that, okay, you know what? Oh, I had to kind of like need to fly back to do something like that. Like, I feel like it would be, before it was really kind of frowned upon to a certain degree.
To what? To like, do what?
Like, for example, like if I want to work a week remotely, right, or back, or every other week remotely, or just because I want to, you know, have more personal time for myself, more me time, right? And before, and I was traveling every single week. If you would tell them, hey, I don't want to travel every week, and I wanted to do it every other week, and I want more time for myself, or leave early in the middle of the week, like Wednesday, right? It was frowned upon.
Yeah, I think that's just like consulting, though. Like, Yeah, I had a friend that like they lost like a relative. I think it was like their cousin, first cousin, and they told the partner that, you know, working a job, was like, hey, I just got to be out. And they're like, had a death in the family. They're like, were you close to them?
Yeah,
like, that was the first.
That was
question
the first question.
it's not like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But they're like, yeah.
Yeah. So
maybe you're in the wrong industry. And that's
But I mean, I'm just saying, like, I just feel like I think hopefully that goes on in a sense, like, we're not traveling 100% again, and hopefully like that had the mentality of being more flexible, right? And because before, like, if I really want to leave on a Wednesday, they were literally frowned upon about that, like, or we're coming out every other week.
So you're like, you said like the company is doing like week or monthly like check-ins with like people and like doing polls and stuff. Do they see that there's more productivity now versus before?
I don't have the numbers. I can't see those numbers. But however, though, I do see people are definitely more active in certain programs. For example, there's a lot of mental health programs that people are providing that. So we have a lot of lunch and learns and stuff for that kind of things, or any kind of the movements. Like they were really active with those movements because it, you know, they, at the end of the day, they want to make sure the employee sees it, what the company's trying to do, right? And so they they're trying to make it more like a visual in front of your face type of deal rather than
trying to show you that they care versus
they care. Yeah. Correct. Yeah.
The thing is, like, if the numbers come back and the numbers are like, oh, like everyone's working 20% more than they used to work, why would they send anybody back on the road? Like, would it just make sense to keep everybody where it is?
Well, correct. And then not only that, that would save clients money and their money as well, right?
Yeah.
But sometimes, though, you do need that client relationship in person, and then you can travel.
Sure, but that's the exception, the baseline.
Right. Yeah. It'll change the culture to, like, being this is a once-in-a-while thing where you'll travel. Like, instead of 100%, you're down to, like, 20%.
So we have an internal chat about this, and we're in Fishbowl. A lot of people talk about 100% travel will probably never return again for us, which would be a good thing, right?
Okay.
And so I will have a life back. But I mean, again, it depends on the client, depends on the project. It's going to vary per company as well. So, but yeah.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense. I don't know what I would want work from home to come back to the office. No, I miss a lot of the stuff that was at the office, and that's really what it is.
Me too. The food. I mean, I had a couple of clients have amazing food, and the snacks and stuff like that. It's nice.
Yeah, I don't really. I don't think I would miss working from home too much, except for the flexibility of like if I needed stuff. But I think companies now that they've seen that you can still work and have and do like your home stuff. Even when we go back to the office, they'll be more flexible of what you're like being like FaceTime that you need to put into it. And that might be just my, like, that just might be my, my industry. But I don't know.
Yeah. I just think I'm going to like appreciate, working with people again. Like, I think,
right.
I've always been an introvert and always been like, oh, when do I get out of here? Like, I don't feel like going to happy hour. Like, I've had moments during COVID. I don't know, like, what the half-life on this is, but, like, I've had moments where I'm just like, I want to go to a club and just, like, oons, oons.
Like, oh, my God. Sean wants to oons, oons. Like,
yeah.
That's crazy.
But I mean, I definitely think, like, going back to the office, like, the biggest thing missed are, like, you know, gym workouts with coworkers. Like,
that's true. Gym workouts,
like, meeting new people that, like, don't always work with or like friends of friends, and then just like the happy hour and lunches, just like getting an opportunity to unplug from work, because like right now I'm not done yet.
Oh, sorry. Go
ahead. Okay. But I think just getting the opportunity to unplug from work for a minute, like I work out at the end of the day, whereas like when I was at work, I worked out in the middle of the day. Like doing like 2-hour lunches and stuff like that, it just doesn't happen during COVID.
That's true.
Yeah. For me, I do miss those lunches with coworkers, because I used to go out my way to have one-on-one lunches with certain clients just to build relationships, or one-on-one lunches with, you know, a senior manager or a partner like that. So having that physical one-on-one relationship, try to build that just over lunch or over, you know, or a happy hour, it kind of does matter a little bit, you know, and you start building that, you know, repetitive routine in a sense. And then you even have a core group, you know, of friends eventually that you build a relationship out of that too as well. So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I've set up time with just my team, like even within our like smaller teams, like you don't get enough FaceTime with anybody working remotely. So I've set up like one-on-ones with my team, and just so that I can like we can like hang out and like know each other. Cause in the office, you like turn around and you're like, you'll say something and everybody hears it. And then you'll just like, there's that interaction, but at home, you just don't have that. And you don't know who these people actually are. So just getting to know your team is a big thing that I didn't have before.
Yeah. I think coming into the new year, actually like at the end, like Q4 of last year, I started like setting up half hour time chunks with two of the associates on my team. Just mm-hmm. so like, hey, like, yeah. What are you doing? Like, how's work going? Like, how's life?
Exactly. Yeah. You need that. You need that just a little bit of human interaction, which is what going back to the office would be so human great to have.
Yeah. And I have specifically labeled, this is not a touch base. This is not a Sean and whoever meeting was like, this is water cooler, coffee break, mm-hmm. conspiracy corner time. I like label it like the meeting title is water cooler, conspiracy corner.
What's one of the best conspiracies that you guys have talked about?
The ancient Sumerians and how they
built everything. Like,
yeah, they knew everything.
Yeah, they knew everything's crazy.
They knew whole everything. No way. Okay, I gotta look at that.
Sending you a TikTok right after this.
Okay. Oh yeah, you saw that too. You saw that. Yeah, it's crazy. But anyway, all right. So to wrap up this episode, you know, I think. As we migrate slowly back to the office, right? And it's going to be an interesting change because for certain industry, it may not have impacted as much, but a lot of industry definitely impacted, especially the old school industry, you know? And one of the things is that I wanted to make sure, I think in our common circle group of friends, it won't be as bad. But I feel like with the older generation, for them, they might be happier that they would go back to the office because they were so used to going to the office, right? So I guess...
I don't know. I want to go back to the office.
I want to go back. I don't want to go back 5 days a week, but
maybe we're the older generation now.
Maybe we are the older generation now, but yeah, it's we think miss everyone, it, right? No. Like it's different. It's a different experience.
It may not quite be the same for us, like just where we are in our career, but like you think about it, like a lot of people that are young, much younger than us, we're not young anymore.
Yeah.
Like they're not living in relatively spacious, like. Living place, and they're probably like freaking tired of being in their like 500 square foot
spot,
and this is just like an opportunity to like get out and go. And then, you know, I think a lot of the younger people like join that company because like call it, they work at the Google or Facebook, like this is freaking campus. It's like college 2.0. Like I don't want to go back to my like 700 square foot apartment that I'm sharing with other people. So I think there's that piece, and then
also you're talking about the Silicon Valley people, though. You're talking about the 1% Silicon Valley folks, in a sense. But I'm talking about like.
But I mean,
I don't think that's
even in general, like New York. I mean, my main office is in New York. Like I've been on like Google calls with them, and like their place does not look big or charming or something that they want to be in for 8 to 10 hours a day.
Gotcha.
I also think there's like because a lot of these big cities, so like New York, San Francisco, LA. People were like doing an exodus from those because it's cost so expensive. Like what happens when things go back up? Like how many people are gonna like lose their job or just like decide I'm gonna find something in a new city that I'm in? And also like I think specifically for me, like I'm moving to Denver. There is an office in Denver, but it's like a satellite office that
it's not a main office.
One or two people that I would interface with are gonna be there. Like am I gonna drive the 30 minutes a day to like make it out there to not really see anybody or just see one person?
That's true. Maybe not.
That's why I think that the WeWork thing is going to get bigger because it's going to be these companies instead of one big building in New York or San Francisco. They're going to have multiple smaller offices that they're renting out in a ton of cities. And then like since everybody's already spread out to accommodate for that, they can just like probably save money and be able to accommodate all those people that are all over.
Yeah. Well, if only WeWorks could have lasted for like just through the pandemic, they could have just like kept it going. Like they would have been money. They would have been what they were trying to be.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't foresee it.
So, okay. I mean, Sean, you brought up a good point about the whole exodus thing because I saw that in LA. And now that things are coming back to normal, some of that, I mean, I'm wondering what would that happen with some of those folks who are working remotely would they take the lower salary, still keep themselves? Because I know a lot of companies are offering where, hey, you can stay where you are. You don't have to come back to office. The city, well, you just have to take a 6% cut of salary or a 7% cut of salary. And I wonder how many companies will do that or actually make sure that position stay remotely forever. You know what I mean?
I mean, from the employee standpoint, my company is not really dropping it based on where you live, but there are limitations on where you can live. Yep. Work remote, but I don't know. I've looked at my wife. I've looked at Den's breakout. It's not significant enough.
Yeah.
Honestly,
it's basically state tax versus not, right? You'll basically make the same. It's really not that big a deal.
For me though, it is a big deal because it's a huge change between LA and Miami, right? And so for me, apparently, they told me that in a sense, it's actually a 9% change.
But how much state tax? You have 12% tax in California, and then you're not paying that in Miami. So then it's basically the same.
And then it's you get taxed wherever you work. So if you're still working for a client remote, but your work's being done technically there, you're still gonna get beat up regardless.
No, but I had to physically be there, right? So, but if I'm not, I'm working where I'm working at. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
And that's why I said it's basically a tax thing, right? If you're taxed.
It is. To a certain degree, it is. Though, but still,
if there's no state tax in that spot, you're pretty much coming out the same or not. If it is taxed the same as California, then you're.
Yeah. Well, by default right now, I have to report California because that's my home office is. You know what I mean? So
is that how it works? Is you
my home office,
your home default. Office, but you could, but if you're moving to Miami, you're not switching your home office.
I had to transfer my home office to Miami, and that's where the percentage discount. I had to take a 9% cut salary.
Right. So you take a 9% cut salary, but you save 12% on taxes. So.
I'm not sure how much it is in LA. I don't think it's 12% though. So.
It might be 8%, right? In the state by itself is 8%, right? So
is it? I don't know.
You're losing 1% of salary, which doesn't seem too much, right? It's really you can plan it out.
It's rounding error.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's conclude. To conclude this episode, we have our free range vents. Who wants to start?
Sean, you want to start? What do you have to vent today?
I'd like the host to start. I'll sandwich.
Go ahead, Robert.
All right. Well, for me, I don't even know. I have nothing to complain about.
Is the life too good for you?
My life is good today. I don't know. I'm working a lot. That might be one thing. It's quarter end. We were working so much. When did April start? April started on
11 days ago.
Thursday on a Thursday, right? So it started on a Thursday, and we worked that entire weekend and throughout the next week. So we were looking for a break that was we have to do our accounting close and stuff, and then at the end of the accounting close there's a suspense account where we're looking for.
Are you averaging about 90 hours a week right now?
I'm not sure how many hours I'm working, but I work, my hours are nuts, right? So I wake up 10 o'clock, I work until 5, which is, I don't know, that might not all be real work.
Of course.
And then, it's probably 6 o'clock, and then I take a break, get back on at 8 PM and work until 2. Right.
Jesus.
And then after that, I'm doing podcast stuff. So then I might have other an hour or two of podcast stuff. I go to bed, wake back up, and I did that for at least the first 7 days of this month, and it was brutal. People who were video chatting with me, they're like, "You look exhausted," and I was like, "Yeah."
You show your video. You show your face in your video chat?
I always show video. I don't ever.
No, do you do the same thing too? You show your video, your face.
90% of the time.
Damn, yeah. I'm the only one that doesn't show my face.
What are
if
you
I had your
hiding?
Face, I don't know.
I don't show my face at all.
Often I would joke, but
no, for real. Clients,
why wouldn't you show it?
Because it's not needed to. So, at least in my online projects, none of my clients show their faces except for maybe one, two people.
No, I do get that because I do work outside of company a lot, with third parties, and they never show their face. So I generally don't have it on.
I think external people, for me, they show their face more than people that we'll have like maybe half of the people showing their face in our company, and then if we're having an external call, like everybody's on, like everybody.
I think it might be different though. Like what's your external like customer, I guess, because like mine's not the same as Wong's like external customer, but like mine is like a whole warehouse that like we contract out that we're working with, and I'm like meeting with them daily throughout the day. Whereas like, is yours more like a consultant or?
Yeah, it's just like it's just like calls that we have to do to make sure that we're on the same page. But it's always like
we're a third party though, right?
Yeah, with a third party, it's always like a 30-minute call. Like it's not that long.
Yeah. Yeah. Even for me, with my clients or a third party are maybe one person or two person that shows their face, but nobody else does it.
I want people to know, like, hey, this is the person you're working with.
But okay, let me tell you.
Don't confuse me with the guy over here.
So okay, no. So let me tell you this. Okay, so my last client, we had two Michael Wongs in the project. Okay, there's Michael H. Wong and there's Michael S. Wong. I'm the Michael S. Wong, and so what ended up happening was that my counterpart confused who I was because she didn't look closely into, I guess, in the chat that says a name in it, and she recognized, oh, that's not him because he's not speaking fast. So I realized I invited a wrong Michael Wong to the wrong meeting.
Wow.
And then during the last day, when I think we were like, hey, we're about to go live, say goodbyes and stuff like that, both of me and Michael Wong show our faces, and our counterparts like, oh, this is how you guys really look like. I don't know, it's just funny.
See, yeah, like I don't know, I always show my face. I just want to make sure, like, because since we're already like so separated and it's not very like personal, like showing your face is like adding additional person, like a personal ability to that.
A personal touch, I guess. Yeah. All right. So Sean, what's your rant?
Oh, my rant is dieting while we're kind of on the workout, make yourself better version. I've always hated dieting. I think it's a horrible idea, but I was watching one of my YouTube spirals. This guy does cooking videos. He was talking about how out of proportion people use like paleo and keto diets, and it's like these diets weren't made for us to lose weight on. Like the keto diet is something that like literally you can't really sustain, and it's mainly made for people that have like you're preventing kids from getting seizures and stuff like that. Like you're trying to keep like very low carbs, very high fat and protein, and it's something that they're doing to survive and live on. Whereas like we're trying to use this as a way to
get
ourselves into ketosis. Yeah. And it's like that one doesn't work. And then the paleo, it's like, yeah, like make stuff that like only like we used to eat in the paleo age, but it's like our bodies are drastically different from the people at that point. It's like their bodies were set up to be like goats and cows and stuff, and just like munch and gnaw and like churd and just like break it down over time. Like we have a stove, we have an oven. Like I could do a lot of things. I could go to an outhouse and poop, but we have indoor plumbing now. So
yeah. Well, so like if we had all of this in the paleo times, they would be eating our food too.
Wait, hang on, Sean. Right. Hang on, Sean. But let me ask you this though, then. What is your exact venting? Like, are you just annoyed?
I'm tired of people that just like hop on the trends and stuff.
Oh, okay, got it.
Like,
okay.
Like just if you want to diet, like just build something kind of like you said, like I'm not going to do a push-up challenge for a year. And then after I finish, just like not do it. Like build something that you can consistently do for not for 365, like just do for your life. Like
that's the last time.
Lifestyle change.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just go gluten-free organic. Don't do it. Just go gluten-free organic everything.
There we go. No, Sean, to your point, like you said, like the keto diet is definitely not sustainable as a lifestyle. Think about it. Bodybuilder does this only to lose the water weight, right? They do it only for the first 4 or 5 weeks. That's what they do it. I actually included the keto diet only 3 months out of the year, and then I'll go back to my regular, you know, low carb, whatever it is type of deal. But my issue with that is actually is more about not being fulfilled, being full in a sense, because sometimes for certain food, you're just not satisfied. You know what I mean? But then you eat it's 1,000 calories, but you only ate a certain amount, you know, like, because it's high calorie content food, right? like nuts, anything like that, and or steak, anything like it's high calorie content food, but not enough portion. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like woke dumb. It's like you only like went to the surface level of the issue. It's like it's all good to be like have new thoughts and like like try to do things different, but like dive in. Don't go surface level.
I don't like diets at all. Like anything that's diet related. I don't like even diet food. I don't like kale at all. Like it's just the worst. Everything that's diet related, it makes it taste worse. And I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, just go all the way in or don't go at all. Like I'm not gonna eat a sugar-free or sugar-light cheesecake.
Yeah.
No, like it's still bad.
Don't
like,
do it.
I think the perfect example is rice. Brown rice versus like a white rice. You're still getting bad stuff with the brown rice. So just go ahead with the right rice. Eat in moderation. Don't have like a whole pound of white rice on your plate.
But it matters though if it's organic or not though. See, that's the part. I feel like that matters a lot because I think for that, what is sourcing with the food ingredient comes from matters for me. To me, that matters at least.
Sure. Yeah. I guess. Everything in moderation. Don't be a glut.
I think that's probably the best way to diet is just moderation versus cutting stuff out and like
and
doing half-ass like, cutting.
Yeah, I think one thing like I took my kid to the doctor's appointment this week and they were talking about like how like as a child like don't worry about if he's not eating this particular day. Like we're all like built with the ability to figure out exactly what we need to eat and we'll eat when we're hungry and not.
Your brain reacts to that.
Yeah, at a certain point like we just start feeling like we have to have Coca-Cola every day or multiple times throughout the day.
Do you force feed your kids sometimes? Like eat.
No.
Okay, that's good.
How many days does he go without eating?
That's he tried to go like Gandhi like a couple weeks back, but he never does that. Like he'll miss a meal. He won't miss like Daisy.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So for me, like I have a similar event in a sense that I'm doing so good. It's not like a diet challenge. It's more like a just being more aware, mindful of what I'm eating, right? So I've been really good about not eating as much processed food or as you know, or high carb stuff in a sense. But there are days where like I have like, okay, you know what? I haven't gone out eating in this one place for a while. And then I over order or overindulge in a sense, my portion size, she said, membership. But then now I realized I'm like, wow, I'm getting older. And I realized, wow, I cannot even finish a bowl of pho now, which is a good thing.
You can't finish a bowl of pho?
No, I can, which is a good thing though. But that's because during the last year or so, my portion size has been better, right? And so therefore my stomach has shrunk. But I still over ordered though, and in my eyes, and I have a bunch of leftovers.
But then you eat it the next day, right?
Yeah, but still though, I hate leftovers. So like, you know, how like I don't like leaving food on the table sometimes.
No,
like,
yeah, I agree. Yeah, I know. I know.
I've seen you participate in that practice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. But now it's different now. I had to pack it up. I get full now. So I'm mad about it because I hate having leftovers and like I cannot finish certain food now. So like, I'm like,
you hate having leftovers, but you overorder even before.
I know.
You're crazy.
I'm hungry. I'm ordering with my eyes, right?
For me, it's like, I'm going to overorder and then I'll just eat it tomorrow. I'm okay with that because, you know, like, I'd rather eat it than not. Because, like, I already paid for it, right? Might as well eat it.
I do hate, like, I guess as I've gotten older, I've found, like, better takeout places or restaurants that I eat to. And then I hate to, like, reheat food that was made for me to eat at the time.
Only works one time. I know what you're saying.
There's some food that you just don't like. That you can't refrigerate. Like sushi, you can't refrigerate it. And like
steak. Like we went to that steak place, and I had to leave like three like slices of like beef on.
Wait,
like,
you can't have it well done? When you microwave, it's well done though.
I am not putting. I'm not gonna say like what it costs, but I'm not putting that in the microwave or reheating. I'm just. Like that's just
sacrilegious.
I don't know if I pay a certain amount like over like you know whatever for that plate, I'm taking that shit home. I don't care about the decision later.
I mean, I guess, but then it's just gonna,
I know it ruins experience, it ruins the taste in a sense. Though I know exactly that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that in mind, I think that concludes our episode today. Appreciate Sean for hopping on. You would like to pimp anything out? Any advice? For people in the office?
No, just you know, what was that saying in the head? Whatever you do to get somewhere is what you have to do to stay. So, you know, tell them don't work too hard now because they're gonna demand you to keep working that hard.
No,
so.
Don't set that bar too high.
Yeah. Just low like standards. It's under like, promise, over deliver.
Exactly.
Just like any relationship, right?
Yeah. Start how you want to end it.
That's true.
Yeah, outside of that, next time that I'm on the podcast, I will have an actual office. So I'll have a background up. I'll be in Denver. So
all right.
Looking forward to that. So in 3 months or whenever that whenever you guys get to move.
Whenever we have you back on, we're like, okay, we got it. Whenever we decide Sean's ready to be back. All right. Well, everybody watching on YouTube, we want you to smash that like button and hit the subscribe button and leave us a comment and let us know like how's your life been during work from home and any changes that you've seen in yourself. Also, if you're listening on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, we want you to also leave us a review, leave us some comments over there as well. And if you want to watch any of our other episodes, all of our episodes are on our website, www.gfothoughts.com.
I appreciate it. 5 stars. If you give 4 stars, I'm inclined to believe you're a hater.
Oh, snap. That's right.
There we go. All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for listening. Sean, thanks for your time. Until next time.
See you guys. Peace.
See ya.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOTThoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.